Communications, Carla, I believe the first four individuals would like to come up together.
Correct, yeah, yes. The first one, 920, request of Peter Forsythe to address council regarding the proposed changes to section 3.96 of the city code relating to the Office of Community and Civic Life. 921, request of Alan Field to address council regarding 3.96 code change. 922, request of Claire Coleman Evans to address council regarding 3.96 code changes. And 923, request of Chelsea Powers to address council regarding the proposed changes to 3.96.
Very good. Good morning. Commissioner Hardesty.
Good morning. Thank you, Mayor. I'm just curious if the panel might.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm just curious if the panel knows that the code changes have been slowed down.
Yes.
Okay, just checking, because I thought you made it all the way here. It'd be a shame for you not to start off with that knowledge.
And, Mayor, can we just clarify, because I saw Mary Ann Schwab, her face light up, that the two-minute rule applies to testifying on matters on the regular agenda. During communication, everyone gets 3 minutes, so there's no change in people's testimony.
Thank you for that clarification. Yes. Sorry if there was any confusion. You each have 3 minutes each.
And it's fabulous to see you, Ms. Swab. Thank you for being here. Anyway, I don't want to cut you off. I just want to make sure.
Good morning. I'll let you go in any order you choose.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Pete Forsythe. I'm the president of the South Tabor Neighborhood Association, which has published a letter opposing code change 3.96, but my comments here go into more detail. I'm speaking for myself. I want to start by observing that we have, I think this process has revealed a really strong consensus across the city. And I think that may seem strange to say, given all the contention, but as Director Sukri acknowledged in her Oregonian op-ed and also Commissioner Udaly in her most recent email update, there really is a very strong consensus across the city that there are changes needed to address the inability or the shortcomings of the city in engaging with a diverse collection of group and a diverse collection of Portlanders. I think that leaves us with an important question. If there's such a strong consensus for the general principles, then why is there not a code change proposed that there's a strong consensus behind? And I want to shed a little bit of light on that, and I think my colleagues here will go into more detail. I think there are two possible reasons that really stick out to me. Number one is I don't believe there was ever a public engagement plan crafted for this or publicly presented or referred back to throughout the process. I think it's really critical to engage stakeholders early and often, not just a select group of stakeholders, but really everyone that's affected by a change in the code. And I think Alan in particular is going to go into some detail on that. And the other thing, which could be part of that, I'm not really sure how the city works in this way, but I don't see a clear problem statement. It seems to me that there, from the beginning, maybe from council, maybe from civic life, there should be a very clear bullet list. What are the problems that the committee and the code change are intending to address? From my perspective as a citizen, it seems that that list has kind of changed and been a little bit ad hoc as things have been brought up in different discussions at different times, and it makes the process difficult to follow. But I would like to say City Council and civic life and the entire community, I think, have invested a great deal in trying to come to a code change. And I think that has really resulted in a lot of very good work. I'd say it's just not complete. I think establishing that consensus and having the language that we have now, which really goes into some detail about what is needed, is a really good starting point. But what I suggest happen now is that I think City Council probably needs to resource another phase that would be, I think, probably like a minimum of 18 months. I'm not really an expert on what that is, but there needs to be a new process. I don't think any collection of half measures is going to substitute for not having had that the first time. So just going to a few neighborhood associations and talking to them, it's good stuff, but it needs to be done in a more structured way than that to be effective. Final point, if I may?
Very quickly.
Very quickly. My reading of the City Council resolution is that you wanted a new system to be created in parallel with the system for geographically based groups, not to have the existing system taken away. So it does achieve getting on the same level, but I think not the way that City Council intended.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Commissioner Hardesty, did you have a question?
Yes, Mayor. I'm just concerned we're having this conversation when the commissioner in charge isn't here, and it just feels like it's happening in a vacuum.
Yeah.
And because it's on communication, I know. I just want that on the record that I just think that is just not helpful when the commissioner who's put her heart and soul into the changes aren't actually here.
So
for us to be having this conversation.
I agree. It would be more helpful if she were here. On the other hand, we require people to sign up a month in advance for communications.
Thank you.
So it's hard to coordinate those two things. But I will make sure personally, since your testimony is on the record, that the commissioner in charge does see the testimony.
And also, I just want to point out that while Commissioner Udaly has the bureau that has primary jurisdiction over this, let's be very clear, it is the council that will make the decision about how we proceed. And so I for one, welcome hearing concerns raised now, because I have concerns about even the current schedule for accepting a report in November. I don't know what purpose that's going to serve. So I welcome hearing public feedback at this point.
So, colleagues, I know this is a hot button item, but we have a very short time frame to get through today's business. So I would recommend let's hear the testimony, and then we'll have plenty of time to digest it and have the conversation later. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you want to go next? Or you want me? Okay. All right. Good morning. Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, thank you for taking the time to listen to my testimony today. My name is Chelsea Powers. I'm the chair of the Brentwood-Darlington Neighborhood Association. Many of you are familiar with Brentwood-Darlington and know our history of being annexed late into the city and the infrastructure and equity issues we struggle with to this day. I'm here today to speak about proposed changes to Portland City Code 3.96. These proposed changes have the potential to severely impact Brentwood-Darlington and other Southeast Neighborhood Associations' ability to serve our neighborhoods. While we agree wholeheartedly with needing changes to create a more equitable, inclusive, and accessible system, we feel the language as currently proposed will not actually achieve those goals. Since 2016, BDNA has won three grants to directly benefiting city bureaus and infrastructure projects. Currently, we host 30 public meetings, an average of 4 to 6 free events, and at least 4 free partnered events per year. This is a fraction of what we do on an annual budget of approximately $5,000, just under $1,500 of which comes from the city grant to our neighborhood coalition, Southeast Uplift. This is important because my board of 12 volunteers provides the city of Portland with an average of over $150,000 in free labor per year. You can imagine our shock when we learned of proposed code 3.96 already months into the process and saw that it removed all references to neighborhood associations and all the responsibilities of the city and the neighborhood coalitions. Reading current code 3.96, we were again shocked to learn how much support had been withheld over the previous years and what a difference it could have made. A small amount of money can make or break many neighborhood associations. Endangering our support through forcing neighborhood coalitions to compete for grants risks our entire being. If neighborhood coalitions are unable to obtain grant funds in the new system, the neighborhood associations they support lose the essential services of insurance and fiscal sponsorship. Changing the code to remove meeting and record standards that protect us all does not feel like a move that includes more residents. All recipients of public funds must always be required to be open and transparent. These rules keep neighborhood associations publicly accountable for their actions and allows government at all levels to work with us in good faith. Furthermore, our residents rely on our records to stay informed when they cannot attend meetings and events. We are an integral part of the city framework, and the repercussions of neighborhood associations failing would be felt by every resident, regardless of their opinions on the current system. It is my hope that Civic Life will present a full communication, outreach, and project plan to begin a renewed phase of this process, one that brings all stakeholders to the table, both those currently supported and those who aren't. Director Zuckery said in a previous meeting that updating the code is a referendum on government, but not a commentary on who was supported in the past. If that is truly the case, stop forcing us to be adversaries in our own communities and give us the opportunity to be allies in this process. There is room for everyone at the table if we all work together. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Sabina Erdes. I serve as the chair of the Lentz Neighborhood Association. I'm here to ask that you take the opportunity of the 3.96 rewrite to bring our communities to work together on these changes instead of dividing us, which has been the approach of the Office of Community and Civic Life so far. Right now, my district coalition in East Portland, which is staffed by the city, is being phased out from a part of town where we actually have the highest percentage of refugees, immigrants, and people of color. This choice that the Bureau is making to phase out the staff support we are getting speaks to the fact that they do not have an interest or ability to support bringing more community groups to the table. They haven't even been able to support current ones. East of 82nd Avenue is where ethnic groups and other communities of identity meet to organize festivals such as Tonga Day Festival. There are groups such as Refugees and Immigrants with Disabilities, Somali Women Coalition of Portland, Iraqi Society, and more. Asking them to travel downtown to get one-on-one support on a grant application is a significant barrier to their engagement. But they each belong to a neighborhood. What if neighborhood associations in East Portland had the training and empowerment from the Bureau responsible for community and civic life to support these groups navigate the path to obtaining support and resources from the city? Civic Life claims that neighborhood associations are not representative of the diversity in our city, yet when Civic Life attempted to engage the community in a survey, they only got about 1,500 responses the first time and around 100 responses or fewer the second time. How come Civic Life's 1,500 responses are representative of everyone in our city, but the work of 95 neighborhood associations isn't? What would have been the harm in the Bureau actively and intentionally collaborating with neighborhood associations to reach more people instead of leaving neighborhood associations out and blaming us for the inequities in civic engagement? Collaborating with neighborhood associations versus blaming them. Do you see the difference? At the July 31st council session, a senior member of our community, Marianne Schwab, who sat where I'm sitting now, was belittled and dismissed by Commissioner Udaly, who accused Marianne of spreading misinformation and then used her position of power to silence Marianne when she tried to reply. This is representative of how Civic Life have treated community members throughout this process. They have divided us. Their staff has been making the rounds to neighborhood association meetings, but they do not come to listen. They come to tell us that we are wrong. This code change needs oversight from someone who can listen, or just someone who can be receptive to our critical feedback and be serious about ongoing accountability. In my experience, Commissioner Udaly has not been that person. I'm asking all the commissioners today to see the humanity in volunteers doing this work, to see us as people instead of objects. Please support oversight of this code change from someone who can bring us together instead of divide us. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Alan Field. I'm on the Richmond Board. We oppose the proposal, but I'm testifying in my individual capacity. We all agree our civic engagement framework needs to be updated to accommodate our growing and diverse population. The 2008 Community Connect report in your materials provides a roadmap how to do that. It says to strengthen and expand our civic engagement framework by building on the strengths of the neighborhood association system, by updating the code and standards to give formal code recognition to other groups alongside NAs so they too can have a code-protected seat at the table and get similar benefits. The first recommendation in that report says, quote, create formal recognition and a seat at the table for organizations that represent people of color, immigrants, and other underrepresented groups. The auditor's report states, quote, Community Connect charged ONI with creating the infrastructure to support the plan's goals and recommendations, including providing formal recognition for a range of community organizations, updating the office's structures. None of those steps have been taken. The auditor confirmed the code should be updated to strengthen and expand on the NA system by formally recognizing these other groups. There needs to be, quote, a clear framework defining roles and responsibilities of city and community organizations and a focus on accountability. It was recommended that ONI start with a 2012 draft plan, which is in your materials, for a multi-tiered system with different types of groups, partnerships, benefits, and standards. That draft plan by Paul Leisner is in your materials. The auditor concluded, a strong neighborhood system means a stronger and more resilient Portland. As a committee member confirmed to me, none of those documents were even provided to this committee, not even a full copy of the standards. The committee went in the opposite direction by eliminating all sections on NAs and dismantling the NA system. The key components of that system are to be erased. Formal recognition of NAs, a requirement to comply with standards as a condition of recognition and receiving benefits. All mention of benefit standards, the rules of non-discrimination, inclusion, open and transparent process, and accountability, all gone. The code and standards mandate that the Civic Life oversee NA system, all gone. The committee should have left alone the NA sections, but added sections to formally recognize other groups. I provided you in your notebook a sample of a code 396 update. I kept the NA sections, but added in sections defining community-based organizations and put in placeholder spots for this committee to define those roles and responsibilities. That's what this committee should have done. The committee should have focused on lifting up those other groups, not tearing down neighborhood associations. A new phase two committee should be formed to continue the work of the first committee and draft code to add those groups and revise the standards. There needs to be a public involvement plan vetted by stakeholders, solicit applications, have NAs fairly represented, have a neutral body like PIAC or CIC manage this process, have draft stages of comment between drafts, set a realistic timeline of 18 to 14 months, and take into account charter review that's going to start next year, that which could reshape city government. In the meantime, add the six DCL groups, use Community Connect as a guide, apply its model of unity and cooperation, and let's take the time to do this right.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Commissioner Hardesty.
So I just want to appreciate you all for coming today. My objections has nothing to do with your message. It just feels disingenuous to be having the conversation when the commissioner is out of the country. I hope you all know that Commissioner Udaly heard you, which is why she decided to slow the process down. It is my hope that the adversarial nature of this activity will cease, and that people will be respectful of each other and a variety of opinions, and that when we come back to the city council, we'll have something that all communities will be able to get behind. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming, and we appreciate it.